listener production.
Hey, all, welcome to the Adam and Simon Show. It is interview day. We have our interviews coming back, some of our favourites from over the journey, because we're away in Europe for a few weeks, going to a mate's wedding, as you've probably seen. So, you know, because we're away, we're bringing back some of the old stuff, some of our favourite chats. And today's interview is with Alex Dyson.
Radio man, politician, avid gamer.
Comedy club owning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a slasher.
Yeah,
big time slasher. That's like a big slasher. Like, what do you do? Oh, I do a bit of this, bit of that.
Yep.
This is literally, I do a bit of this, bit of that. Oh, what's this? Podcasting, politician. Oh, what's that? I own a comedy club and I play video games.
We do a bit of 90s nostalgia. There's a little bit of politics chat about trying to just move the needle and what it's like to be in the politics game. Mm. Alex Dyson, super fun chat. We hope you enjoy it. We will be back next week, showies. We're back on the 4th of July. We'll talk to you back in person when we're home from Europe soon. But for now, enjoy the chat with Alex. All right, Sim, today's guest, he owns and he's also the founder of Comedy Republic. He's got a kids book called When It Drops. He's ran for politics, but importantly, he's got the Matt and Alex podcast, All Day Breakfast, and he's a part of the Black Hoodie crew. Alex Dyson, welcome to the club. How are you?
Adam, Simon, pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me down to the Black Hoodie crew AGM. Do you want me to take the minutes or who's the secretary of the club?
Well, I feel very excluded here on my own show. My name's in the title and it's like the Adam and Alex Black Hoodie crew. I've got a blue hoodie. Thanks for letting me know, guys. You rat, every one of you.
Oh, well, I'm so glad I wore it because I've jumped to this podcast. You're podcasting from home. I mean, I had the hoodie on. I'm like, should I dress up for an online thing? And I'm like, no, the black hoodie should do it. And I'm so glad I did because this club can only gain momentum from here.
Well, I'm thinking that maybe for a future podcast when we're interviewing someone, Simon and I should turn up in full black tie and be like, oh, did you didn't know this is how we interview people?
Why didn't you wear a suit? I feel like that's everyone. I went today, I was just putting on my shoes, funnily enough, and they're all dirty. I walked in the mud on the weekend and it was the first time I'd ever gotten nervous about my shoes being dirty because it's like, mate, you're going to see other people. Like, we're out in the world now. You're going to meetings and stuff. You got to clean up a little bit. This is disgraceful.
Nothing worse than looking down at the wheels and realizing that they're not new anymore. No. And time moves on and, you know, life is finite. I think that's what I get when I look at slightly dirty sneakers. Mate, I'm like, there's no coming back from this.
My hot tip is don't buy Off-White shoes, not the brand Off-White. I've got a pair of Adidas shoes. They're not white. They're like a bony color. They look dirty all the time. They just look dirty all the time and it's just not very good. But, mate, look. Enough about us and fashion, because we're all fashionable. we're all fashionable guys here. But you know, we don't need to talk about it. Sometimes you just live a lifestyle. You don't need to mention it. We do, mate. We've got lots to talk to you about. You're a very busy man these days. I'm going to start with a bit of a two-part question.
All right, hit me.
You do Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. You used to do Breakfast on Triple J. First part: who is your favorite co-host? Is it Tom from Tom and Alex, or is it Matt from Matt and Alex? Which is definitely a question you've had in the past. And two, what's your favorite breakfast? Actually in the morning breakfast or all day breakfast?
All right. I'll hit part one first. Who is my favorite co-host? And I would have to say that would have been my housemate, David Anderson, who is a physiotherapist.
Oh, it's like us.
He's not into radio, but between the transition of Tom Ballard and Matt O'Kine, like, Tom's like, I think I'm going to be finishing up. It's been 4 years. I'm going to get out of here. I'm like, yeah, no worries. I'm happy to go on. I could finish up at the same time as well. But Triple J management are like, oh, maybe do a few demos with a few different people. And so I did. Like, Michael Hing is on the drive show at the moment. I did a demo with him. It could have been Daiso and Hing in the mornings.
Oh, nice.
Amongst other people. But Matt O'Kine came in and he had a good demo with him. But I remember one night I was walking back to my house with my housemate, said, hey, ABC's just there. You want to go in and do a demo with me? And so I went in and just, it was Alex and Dave, my housemate, at like 9 o'clock at night. I went in, I was like throwing him questions. I'm like, all right, you back announce this song, you know, say that was the Hilltop Hoods, Chase That Feeling and stuff. And he was, you know, he was questionable because, you know, he's better at supporting people's lumber than he is at introducing the hot new tracks from Unearthed High. But it was a bit of fun. And the manager did listen to it. And he goes, oh, that was... Signs. I don't think we're going in that direction. Just Alex and his house, random housemate from Rochester, Victoria. But look, that's probably my my favorite out of the two. I can't split Tom and Matt. They're a close second to Dave.
Equal
Dave
second. Anderson. I like that. Very diplomatic. You did run for politics, and it shows. Well played. Well played. When you
that's it.
When that discussion happens with Tom about he wants to finish up and you want to keep going, how does that? Like, is that an awkward conversation to happen? Because he says, I want to finish, and you're like, oh, I'm not kind of done yet.
It wasn't too awkward. Like, I think at the start you go, well, is it me? You know,
yeah.
Is this something I could do? Was it, you know, am I letting myself go audibly? but no, it was fine. I think it was fair enough. He'd been doing stand-up for a while. He wanted to do other things. And I think he had a really good point as far as what he wanted to do with his life was, like, because we were interviewing so many people coming through in bands, movies, the latest musical that was going on. Someone's got a book out. Someone's got a web series. You know, you talk to so many people across the Triple J breakfast. And, yeah, he was like, I really want to do a creative project where I'm coming in and sitting on the other side of the desk and, you know, being interviewed for the creative passion that I'm pursuing, which I thought was a really, really great, a great pursuit for him to go after. As for myself, and I think, oh, I would have been 24 or 5 when that happened. And I just really liked everyone I worked with. I enjoyed going to see live music. Like, I didn't have potentially the same drive to do it because I was really enjoying what I was doing. And unless there was a great fit that came along, happy to step back and let someone else have a go there. But yeah, just so happened that Matt O'Kine came in and we really clicked almost straight away. And so went and did another couple of years and then both mutually decided to go and do other things at the end of 3 years there. So it was 7 in total. But yeah, everyone's pretty open when it comes to the conversations and it wasn't too awkward. It wasn't like a breakup conversation, which was nice.
I love that when, I don't know whether you did this consciously or subconsciously, but when you talked about the new host, when you talked about Michael Hing and you talked about your housemate, you flipped both of those titles as Alex and Hingy and Alex and his housemate, whereas you are Matt and Alex and you were Tom and Alex as well. So I'm not sure whether that's something that was just like floating away in the subconscious that maybe with a new partner brings a new title, because Simon is always battling for Simon and Adam, but it just doesn't flow.
It's very perspective of you. I mean, Simon, you'd be the same as me. You can feel it. It's slightly Freudian in the way when you do want to be putting yourself to the front. But no, I do remember the conversation when it's coming in. It's like, well, should it be Matt and Alex or should it be Alex and Matt? And I'm sure you're the same, Simon. You just had to. It works. It sounds better. You just got to. It does. Alex being second, it sounds better. And, you know, it's the cherry on top of the male comedy duo name. And look, I'm more than happy to bring up the rear when it comes to that.
That's an Olympic relay. You put your strongest leg.
Yeah. Usain Bolt running first? I don't think so.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Exactly.
Thorpe
right.
would always come last too. Yeah, fair enough.
Exactly.
Good analogy. So Comedy Republic is your comedy venue. Where did the idea come to start a comedy venue? Was it because obviously comedy rooms are quite big in places like America and over in Europe and England and things like that, but specific comedy venues aren't a massive thing in Australia. Is that you just wanted to fill that gap in the market?
Well, I just thought, you know, we got a pandemic coming up. I want a small room, tightly packed with lots of people. That's a good basis for financial security going into the future. And so that's where the idea came from recently. Yep. Big into super spreading. No, it was my friend Kyron, who worked at Triple J as well. We talked about doing something. Yeah, Kyron Wheatley, who was on weekends. We lived together as well at one stage, and I was doing Triple J breakfast. He was doing Triple J weekend breakfast. There was someone getting up early to go to that radio show every morning in the household, which was pretty funny. But I remember after I went on my trip, after I finished up at Triple J, I went around the world, and in New York, there was a shipping container, which was on basically a traffic island. And because it's Brooklyn, they were slinging cans of IPA, and also there was a DJ booth and it was broadcast live radio. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like just a really casual bar, which has a radio station in it. I was sort of talking to Kyron about that, and he traveled around, his partner, Reese Nicholson, very incredible comedian as well. And they'd been to comedy clubs everywhere, performed at all the Edinburgh's and Montreal festivals of the world. And yeah, our travels and ideas sort of came as like, where's a space in Melbourne? Because the comedy festival, you know, we've been so involved in for many years, whether it's at Triple J with Good As Friday broadcasting for me, or Karen and Reese doing shows there. There's 1 month a year in Melbourne where there's like a really great scene and the excitement is palpable, but it's like in the off season, I guess the 11 months that the comedy festival isn't on, there wasn't that real, you know, hub for the up and coming comedians and yeah, people to go along and have a laugh. So we sort of wanted to create that, and yeah, podcasting has become part of it. There's a lot of live podcasts on it, Comedy Republic recently, which has been really cool. And so yeah, it's growing. Growing slowly, and I think as of time of record, we're almost going to have our very first no capacity restriction event after 2 weeks. So I mean, it's very exciting.
That's so
very
exciting.
Happy to get the full vax capacity in, but yeah, it's been a bit of a hard slog over the distance.
Mate, I've looked up here. When you type in Comedy Republic, the first thing that comes up, you've got very good SEO. You come up first, so that's good to know.
That's good. Excellent.
It also comes up with Melbourne's best comedy. How do you determine that you are, in fact, Melbourne's best comedy?
It's the same way, you know, that Adam Simon is the best podcast.
Correct.
You know, in that,
find one person,
everyone knows
it.
It's objectively true.
Yeah.
Which is
you went to my mum and you said, hey, Kathy, we've got this comedy venue. Can you just say it's the best? And she said, yeah. Oh, Comedy Republic is the best. And you go, Comedy Republic, Melbourne's best comedy. Look at that.
That's the quote. Does it have the inverted commas on it as the quote? Is that attributed to Kathy in the
actually,
the Google
if
search?
I, as I look further, Kathy Denson's actually
asterisk.
Attributed
just
to
a little
it.
Like asterisks at the
perfect.
Top, which is nice.
Perfect.
It's very
That's
good.
It. No, yeah, we really want it to be because that the capacity is around a 120 mark. It's not your massive, you know, Carl Barron's not going to come and sell out, you know, 1,000 seats in this particular one. But if Carl wanted to come and try out some new material,
love this.
That would be great. Where it's also great for some really great up-and-coming comics who are just about to take that next step to come and perform, which has been really awesome to see these comedians develop over the last 2 months, 2 years that Comedy Republic's been open. And so it is, you know, this is what I think Kyron came up with this. It is the best of the new and the new of the best. So if the best people who are out there want to come and try,
catchy.
We had Dave Hughes in the other night testing out a little bit of stuff. He came in. And yeah, the best new comedians will be there as well. So I think that's where we're playing with the word best.
So it's really going to be like, it's going to be like people would have seen on TikTok or, you know, on Instagram videos where those big comics are coming in and just playing to not many people, trying out new stuff. They'll be in there. There'll be some up and comers. That's super exciting. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's been really cool. I mean, it's been so hamstrung by the fact no international comedians have come to Australia basically for 24 months. So, yeah, if Chris Rock is on his tour and he wants to catch back up with Matt O'Kine after had a bit of a run-in on Triple J Breakfast one morning, he could come and do that. But Daniel Sloss, he was here doing a few Hamer Hall shows and a tour around Australia, and he's, massive in the UK's Netflix specials have gone off, but he came in and did about 15 minutes one night, which was pretty cool. And even, you know, Auntie Donna, who wanted to test out some new material, so they made up a new name for a fake sketch group called The Testy Cools, and they did a couple of secret midnight shows during comedy festivals. So, yeah, we do try and provide a space for people to try out a few experimental things before you see the fully fledged, perfectly worded stuff at the Melbourne Town Hall during comedy festival.
That's
or something.
Cool.
What happened to, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but what happened to Carl Barron? Like, I know he's like, Carl Barron is almost the comedian of our generation.
Well, he's Australia's but, probably like, the best.
Is he still
doing
stuff?
You
go to a house in Australia, you would have a Crowded House CD and a Carl Barron DVD.
100%.
I think they're the two discs that every bookshelf has. But I think he puts on a stand-up show every now and again, but I remember looking at his tour dates one time. He was doing a tour and, yeah, you'd do 5 shows at the biggest venue in Canberra. you then go on and play Townsville for four nights or something like that. Not many other comedians are able to do that, but oh man. And I mean, the great thing about stand-up comedy is if you're listening and you don't know what to get into in your life to build your fortune, the overheads for stand-up comedy, it's a microphone and theatre hire. Really, yeah. That's about it. You don't have to have the instruments. You don't have to have the staging, the props, the costumes. Get up there and say some funny, relatable content and you could go well. So I think it's a sort of situation where Carl can do that and then do whatever he likes. The same as Gautier, somebody I used to know, goes massive. Yeah. He then buys some really cool synths and old, you know, harmonium instruments and just creates what he wants to do and lives his life. So potentially that's what Carl's doing. He put out a movie at one point, though, which I never saw. Did you guys see the Carl Barron movie?
No, I think I just had the DVD called The One-Ended Stick. I think that was the one I had. But I've just looked up his tour dates.
Classic
he's going
Carl.
To, like you said, he's doing Ballarat for three nights in the middle of December. Mm. Then he's got like eight nights in a row in Newcastle. Then he's going to the Gold Coast for one night.
Who else
night.
Could do that?
Unbelievable.
Tell Gold me Coast who else could
just,
do that.
Just for one night. Then Brisbane just for one night. Then, mate, didn't have enough fun in Newcastle. He's heading back to Newcastle. And then obviously...
Wait, eight nights in Newcastle, goes to Brisbane and then back to Newcastle for another show?
Eight nights Newcastle, then the Gold Coast, then Brisbane. Really gets that Southeast Queensland hit.
Yep.
And then locks back to up. Newcastle for another couple of nights.
That's
but he plays a different venue in Newcastle. How about that? Bloody oath, Carl.
That's
keep it
huge.
Up. And then obviously we'll try and get him at Comedy Republic, obviously.
Absolutely. Oh, man, Carl, if you are listening, and I do hope you are, like, honestly, growing up with that sort of humor. And even, like, that's the great thing about TikTok now, all the Carl stuff that all these kiddies haven't seen before, they're back.
It's so good. Just watching someone experience how you're going for the first time is just joyous.
Yes. Hey. Australians don't tell you what they're doing. They tell you what they're not doing.
Yes. Oh, what a
how you been? Not bad. Oh, where is it? Not far.
How was classic. It? Oh, well, not good.
Oh, yeah. So was good. It Cosmos? No, it wasn't cheap.
Oh, yes. Oh,
I vividly remember watching the Carl Barron DVD for the first time at my friend Lockie Raven's house when we must have been about 12 or 13 and crying with laughter for a solid hour. It is timeless comedy.
That was it.
I love
that
it.
Was it. Those,
I love it.
Those times in high school, I still haven't seen some things. I only know them because my friends quoted them. I've never seen the movie Basketball.
Oh.
But there was the dudes who did South Park. Yes. I've never seen it, but I could tell you so many lines because my friends quoted it at school and it is stuck in the head.
You almost can't watch it now because it'll ruin what happened. Like the first time
exactly.
I saw Eddie Murphy Raw, people had told me and it's about, and you're like, oh, I didn't think it would look like this when he said this, and like he's got the leotard, and like it adds a whole nother layer. It's so good.
It's so like you read Harry Potter, and then they put out a movie, and you're like, no, that's not what it's meant.
That's
I'm sorry.
What it looks
incorrect.
Like,
I'm sorry, JK, incorrect.
No, that's not what the wands look like, Christopher. I'm a real stickler for this anyway. Hey, is there any chance that Alex Dyson makes an appearance at Comedy Republic?
Look, there's a small chance that I get them to do some stand-up. I've been doing a bit of podcast. Matt and Alex have done a couple of live podcasts at the moment. We're in the works to do Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast annual general meeting where we will get our listeners along to Comedy Republic and take questions. We'll, you know, look ahead for the forward estimates. We'll see what podcast content they're striving for in the next 12 to 24 months. Okay. Obviously looking for great growth in fart jokes. Our portfolio a little bit thin on the ground when it came to that. We'll see how that goes. But as far as stand-up comedy goes, every now and again, I think of something and go, oh, that could be good for stand-up. But as soon as I start verbalizing it to other people, they're like, I don't know about that. Like I was thinking recently, like if I really find it funny when people look up and go, oh, there's not a cloud in the sky. And I take the smallest look around and go, there's one. didn't check the full sky before making that outlandish comment. Do your due diligence. So I thought about that. That's my most recent stand-up
like
comedy thought.
Workshop
but it
that.
Could absolutely bomb.
So election next year, you've run for politics once in the seat of Wannon, your home seat out in the West.
Yeah.
You're running again, running round two, independent, make your way into the big stage.
I would love for an independent candidate to get in. And I like, I don't really care who that is. I would love for a female independent candidate to get in. It's I like a lot of Australians watching on over the last couple of years and seeing the you know, the treatment of Brittany Higgins and the issues that have been around Parliament. I feel that there's such a space for that. And so, yeah, I have been wrestling with potentially going again, potentially supporting a candidate who I really believe in, and trying to use my my voice and occasionally my my dance moves to try and, you know, propel them to make a change in the world. And so, yeah, it is probably, as you mentioned before, quite a diplomatic response. But who knows? I don't know when. Do you know when the election's going to be?
Get him in.
Could sync up with my schedule.
Yeah,
I don't
September.
Know.
It'll be September.
Ooh.
You'd be a very busy man. Got a bar. Got a book, got a show.
Well, that's a good thing. I feel politics. Like now that I'm a small business owner, I think some more, you know, I'll be able to pluck the Greens voters for my, you know, large climate change, you know, I think that we should take care of that. But small business owner, I tell you what, our tax bills, I hate them. I hate when that comes through. You just think you're starting to go well and then suddenly they sting you. So maybe I could pluck a few votes from all over the political spectrum.
Opens one bar, becomes a Liberal. Straight away. Turns out those Liberals were right the whole time. Taxes suck. Stay out of my bloody business, government.
Exactly. Phil Wang had a interesting joke in his Netflix special, and it was something like, yeah, we used to really hate capitalism. It was like, but I realized that's because I didn't have capital. If you had capital, capitalism is incredible.
Bro, being rich is gross. If you're rich, the world is sick. Like, you've just got to get rich. It's like, well, I mean, that's the whole thing.
Do rich people use the word grouse, though?
Well.
I feel that, but that's an everyman kind of term.
See, I've put myself socioeconomically
in a box.
In a box there.
Simon just revealed his socioeconomic status, and it is not rich.
Confirmed, not rich. Very much confirmed it is not rich. Yeah.
It would be chaos. Imagine if the whole of like the lower house in Parliament was independent. Like imagine if everybody, it's because everyone's like, everyone wants to be in a safe, everyone wants to be in a swing seat. Mm-hmm. But the way, like, doesn't everybody want to be in a swing? I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I'm trying to say that everybody should want to be in a swing seat, but nobody votes to be in a swing seat.
Yeah, that was kind of the one. When I was running for one and last time, it was I don't trust the politicians to give money where it is most needed. They go to where it's most needed for Australians. It's most needed for their votes. And, you know, the car parks that are built for $200,000 per car park is one example of that, or the sporting grants that were given out and shown to be in marginal or Liberal electorates. But if the people vote, even if it is just for a one-off to say, hey, do not take us for granted, you know, a safe Liberal seat that you're not going to pay any attention to, by doing that, I trust the people of those communities more than I trust the politicians to do the right thing. But as far as the chaos thing goes, if there are a lot of independents in there, who knows? Yeah, it seems to be going real smoothly at the moment, where it's the Nationals and the Liberal Party and Matt Canavan and Barnaby Joyce saying one thing, and then Dave Sharma in Wentworth saying another thing for his double harbour voters. It's not Double Bay. What's down underneath? Rose Bay voters.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty chaotic as it is, and so having some people who have no affiliations and don't need to vote one way just for the good of their careers or, you know, the party. I think that could be a good thing to try out given our current circumstances.
Give it a shot. Well, I feel like the independents always get a bad rap on purpose. That's the point, right? Is that independents always get, you know, painted as it's going to be insanity. Don't have too many independents. Yeah, but like, look who's saying don't have too many independents. It's the people who aren't the independents. So
yeah, and I think it's been quite successful in the communities that vote for it. They manage to hold the seats the next election. They go, actually, this is going pretty good. They care about that, and they're not, you know, their boss isn't saying you need this position on this particular thing. It's the community is like, hey, we really think this, and they can go and take it into Parliament. So like Cathy McGowan is one of the first examples of that.
Helen Haynes.
Helen Haynes as well. So yeah, I think communities find that once you go indie, you do not rescindy. I don't know.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, that's spot on. I mean, spot on. Spot
Well, that's a spontaneous. That's a spontaneous Alex Dyson 2022 t-shirt campaign.
Once you go slogan. Indie, you
I'll,
do
I'll
not
start the printers up now.
That is, yeah. With your face, thumbs up, big thumbs up.
That's the big thumbs up. Got there, yeah.
Well, that's the one of the best things I've ever heard a teacher do in a primary school was that they were teaching, I think they were a grade six class, and they were talking about critical thinking and how to read articles and listen to people. And they said you should always do three things. You should always say, who is writing this? Why are they writing this? And what are their biases in writing this? And then it completely changes how you go about reading certain articles and, mm-hmm. and listening to people talk about things, is that you think about why are people saying certain things, and then do they have any bias or reason to say it to push a certain agenda? And I thought that was a really important thing to teach these kids who are like 12, that when you're reading things that you don't just take everything on face value.
Yeah, that's such an important point. And I remember a few text analyses growing up where you're going, okay, why did they use the words looming rather than this? Mm. Like you really see what is going on in those ones. And I think, people, it's interesting because people are both at the moment so besotted with doing their own research.
I love it.
But there's also such skepticism of authority, and skepticism is a healthy thing. But I do not see why they can be so skeptical of, you know, NASA the World Health Organization.
Yep.
And yet they don't apply that same lens, because I think you should go, who are the World Health Organization, what's in it for them, what are their budgets? You can ask all those questions, but if you don't then apply that to Donald Trump at face value without the same, you know, thing, it's or the YouTube video that pops up with a random stat, you know, all for the healthiness in the skepticism, as long as it is applied evenly across everything that you do see. And yeah, it's interesting seeing the skepticism of doctors and that sort of thing, and finding out what's in it for them, or even climate scientists. You know, I don't see the climate scientists getting their helicopter to the polo in the same way that potentially the Australian Minerals Council board could be doing. So anyway, that's just my side of things,
mate. I love it. I could talk politics all day, yep. But we won't. Ooh. What we're going to do, we like to...
What do people come here for? Do they come here for the political discourse?
What they do.
What are they seeking out?
I sometimes think that we surprise some people, because on the surface, we are idiots, absolute cretins. And then sometimes we go a little bit deep and then start like splashing. We're like, uh-oh, very deep, very deep.
I forgot I can't swim.
Very deep, very deep. But what we do like to do on this show is find out about people and find out about the things that people probably aren't known for. Like in your intro, we said bar owner, wrote a book, ran for politics, breakfast host of Triple J, but in fact, also passionate gamer.
Love a bit of video games.
Love this.
Gentlemen. I think a lot of people are still chasing the happiness that you would feel when you open your first PlayStation on Christmas.
Love
like
that.
I can think about the moment because you think this thing is awesome, video games, and you open it up and it's in absolutely an incredible moment. There's something really, really fun. And I do feel it is quite cool to see video games growing as my alarm for my video game session goes off. Got to join the boys. We're doing a raid.
Where are we dropping?
I'm not that deep into it, but I do. There's something about, like, because it involves so many different things, whether it's, it could be artistic storylines, music, the graphics, and there's such a spectrum of games that you can go through, and they're becoming more and more creative as you go along. Yeah, it's something of an escape, which is pretty cool. And I remember being young and designing my own like Zelda-esque game and drawing the different weapons that you'd have in your arsenal, and you do a map of the places, you know, like a map where you open a fantasy book or something.
Yes.
Like, ooh, where are these places? That kind of thing. Like drawing those things. I think it's such a cool thing.
It's for anyone who has ever doubted video games' impact on the world, the Tokyo Olympics opening ceremony soundtrack was all video game soundtracks played over the top.
Yeah.
That's where all of the athletes walked out to that. So if you ever doubted it, you can get stuffed because it's exactly it's right. real. The passion is real.
Exactly right. And people doubt it all the time until it comes to warping kids' brains. They're like, well, it's got to be video games that are
That's got to be that. Yeah, it's not the way you're behaving on it or anything.
Which video games do you play? Which are your, like, which is your home base?
I got an Xbox when I was younger and started playing Halo, and some excellent late nights were had with some friends linking up Xboxes and playing Halo against each other. And so, I've been playing a little bit of that recently online in lockdown, which is quite funny because the first day of the next step in Victoria, I'm in Melbourne at the moment and have been for forever by the what it feels like. But it was interesting that the first day there was openings and you could go and do things. You go to a restaurant and that sort of thing. Like, I think I was quite tired and I'm like, I'm just going to stay inside and play video games all day. That's right. I just submitted a big writing book deadline. And so I'm like, phew, that's it. I'm going to play some video games now.
I love this.
Because I hate the thing that's no good about video games is it's difficult to avoid playing them without a sense of guilt. Like, I should be doing something else. So I have been really trying to go, no, this is fun. I enjoy this. It doesn't have to be video games. It could be whatever. Like, give yourself some time to really soak this in rather than thinking, oh, I should be messaging that person back or I should be, you know, put that away for a little while, get to them later and enjoy it while you're doing it, I think.
All about being present, right? Mental health. Use exactly. it for your mental health, which I guess, like, if you're a teenage, mostly boy, but teenage girls too, just be present,
it's
guys.
It's been growing so well. And the games to that is... Okay, we downloaded The Sims recently. I created a Sims family and had a lot of Days of Our Lives drama in the Sim household.
Whoa, I'll tell you what. Okay.
The life and times of Epiphany Jones were very, very saucy. And in fact, an all-day breakfast, I mean, the things got so saucy in my Sim house with a somewhat taken Bella Goth, I'll just say, with a little bit of woohoo in the jacuzzi, if you hear what I'm saying.
Bit of mess.
We got one of the writers of Neighbours on All Day Breakfast and pitched my Sim storyline to them to potentially put into the show. And look, there was a lot of sauce in Neighbours, so it was very difficult to compete.
Whoa.
But, I think there's a bit of an in there. I'm going to keep trying and potentially build an extension and see what other living situations we can come up with, because I think Ramsey Street is about to get a little bit of horse and sim action.
Epiphany Jones might be might be buying a house in the street.
Yeah,
did you play The Sims as a teenager, and how do you think that compares to your playing The Sims as an adult?
When The Sims came out, I thought, that looks awesome. I went and hired The Sims computer game
and tried to run it.
And it went so slow on whatever old Pentium we had at the house. You could barely do anything. So I just remember sitting there and it would be 30 seconds and then the frame would update and then another 30 seconds and then the next frame would happen. So I remember I got robbed in The Sims once. And it's like, you're being robbed. And I'm like, oh, no, it freezes. And then the robber's out of there. Like, oh, God. But I did like I played Sim Safari, where you start your own safari camp.
Love that.
And you build huts for people. And then you've got to go to, there was three sections. There was the local village, the safari camp, and the animal savanna. And you had to put in your grasses and the different grasses for the herbivores. And then you drop a few carnivores in. You put the big trees in and that sort of thing. I played Theme Hospital back in the day.
Oh, I played Theme Hospital too, yeah.
People come in with all sorts of unusual diseases and then they vomit on the carpet. You got to hire a janitor to clean it up. And,
I did that.
You know, that was pretty interesting. And I've recently been playing City Skylines, which has been a good Sim City kind of build up, but you said it, Age of Empires.
That was the one.
Yeah.
It came on the Nutri-Grain box back in the day.
Yeah, it did.
Popped that in, loved it. And then at college, we'd never do our homework, but at St. Hilda's College, where I went, everyone's computers are hooked up. So we'd have 8-player battles that went well into the early hours of Age of Empires.
LAN parties before the internet was invented. Yes. I was a big roller coaster mayhem guy. Just great.
Oh, Roller Coaster Tycoon, which was made by a single dude.
Really?
Like a single dude like coded the entire thing and made the whole
unbelievable.
Game.
You make your
it's
own
quite incredible.
Theme park. It was so good.
Yeah.
Until you turn a little bit, I mean, might be admitting something here, but sometimes you'd...
Do not tell me.
Sometimes you'd make a roller coaster and you'd put a gap in it and you're like, I wonder if we can jump from one bit to the other. Turns out you couldn't and you killed 16 people. So,
oh my word.
That roller coaster struggled. My uncle gave us the original Uncle Ian, shout out to Uncle Ian, the original Age of Empires. And it was awesome for like a couple of years until we looked up the cheats and realized that when you typed in Big Daddy, you got a car with like a machine gun on the back. And then like, mate, you've got people
instead
that are walking around.
The old Roman centurion exactly. or whatever. Yeah,
they're still
yeah.
building houses out of stone. I'm driving around in a Dodge with a big machine gun on the back. So, I mean, it was. Yeah, I mean, that was like tough. The beginning of the end.
I feel like that's
well, the early video, early internet, it was all it was MSN Messenger. Mm-hmm. You could look up song lyrics and you could look up video game cheats. They were the three different websites I went to.
Yeah.
It's just an experiment, large experiment on temptation. It's like, hey, here's the cheat codes that you think they'll be good, but too much of a good thing is in fact very, very bad.
It's a good lesson.
Which is exactly right. Yeah. I always. Yeah, I do try to avoid the cheats, but there's something about the unlimited. I remember someone telling me in Sim City, I think I was in year six, I got a cheat. So much money. Oi, you click on this, you go down, you get hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm like, sick, go and do that. It wasn't a cheat. You took out a loan at a high interest rate. And so that was where I first learned about the how you roll in society. It's like, it's unlimited money, like sick, start doing that. Oh, no, you have to pay that back. That's a loan to the bank. So my city failed.
That should have taught us more about like home loans that wasn't taught in high school and primary school. We probably should have learned more from Sim City. Definitely.
Absolutely right. A lot more interest rates,
the
worst, all of that.
Life lessons.
We play... Even before that, we played a game. I don't know if you remember Jones in the Fast Lane. It was an MS-DOS only game, kind of like a board game.
Wow.
And you would have to like live your life. So you'd have to go to uni, but then you'd have to go to work, and to try and work your way up, you'd have to buy food. And that all took time, and your time only had your turn was a certain period of time, and you could spend it going to uni, but then you'd also need to work to get money to pay your rent and things like that.
Oh my
and
God.
If you didn't balance it out well enough, you just ended up literally wearing a barrel.
That rings a bell. MS-DOS figure wearing a barrel. I think I've played that. I remember a haunted house version of those games as well. And there was Carmen Sandiego in our year six class on a 7.5-inch floppy disk that you put into this old machine. It was like the lid of a Tupperware container or something that's flopping around, and you chuck it in there and you're playing these type of games. It was, back in the day, good times.
Well, Matt, this has been three 30-year-old white guys reminiscing about computer games they used to play 20 years ago.
Far out.
So we're saying quotes from other comedians there instead of coming up with their own.
This is early 2000s nostalgia. I hope everybody enjoyed it. Thanks for joining us, Alex. Before we go, we do have our producer, Cass. Mm-hmm. We get her to ask one question to every guest because she is our listener in the room. So, Cass, what is your question for Alex Dyson?
Hey, Alex, what's the most important thing you've missed because you've been in a gaming session?
Always a good question.
Important thing I've missed due to a big sesh. Well, some could say that sleep is a very important for a healthy thing, and that, you know, being at a sleepover in primary school, we played James Bond GoldenEye 64 or Diddy Kong Racing until 6 in the morning. I mean, that could have, you know, you don't want to stagnate your growth and development. You know, children need a good night's sleep. I can't think of like a time where, you know, my fiance is waiting at the altar and I'm there fragging noobs on Halo 3 online.
Wearing a barrel.
Wearing a barrel because I didn't go to my job interview or something like that. No, it is a little bit about balance, but yeah, it is. Slightly easy to get carried away in those situations as well. Playing Red Dead Redemption 2 recently, and I think I missed a podcast meeting as a result of that. People are trying to call me. It's like, oh, we got to work out tomorrow's show, and I was deep in the zone.
I'm trying to tame a horse here, guys. Get off my case.
Exactly. Riding the rails around ye olde America. But I've tried to be better at that growing up, to give myself a few time limits, which is good.
I love it.
Awesome. Alex Dyson, thanks for joining us. Everyone, go and check out Comedy Republic. There's going to be heaps of gigs now that the world's open. Also, check it out. Check out Matt and Alex's All Day Breakfast podcast. Buy the book when it drops. If he goes up for politics again and you live in Wannon, make sure you vote for him. Is there anything else you want to plug?
Tepid Heat. It's my gamer tag. Get on it.
Done.
Add me.
Love that. Love
if you want
that.
To play some Sims against Tepid Heat and get involved in the crazy lifestyle of the Sims, make sure you add it. Tepid Heat.
Just have your hot Sim move in next door to Epiphany Jones. It's only a matter of time.
Love it. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Alex.